prove the doubters wrong. Jesus, I feel him close. I feel him close. Let's preach. You and I have been in church for quite some time, quite some while, and you and I have been in some ups and some downs, some accomplishments, some setbacks. Even this year has been challenging to say a bit. Even up to right now, we have spoken words of faith in the atmosphere, and we're still waiting for the manifestation of the glory to yet be revealed. And the glory will yet be revealed. We have been through a lot just here this far, but there is something more. I believe there's something called an anointing to birth and an anointing to finish. I believe God has put a finisher in you. Because as much as you had to fight, been in a fight of this journey this year of your life, you and I have not yet reached our destination. To your neighbor, this is not my destination. I may be here, but this is not the end all to meet all. There is yet still something more. For the Bible tells me that you have predestined me to be, and we have not yet come to that place to be. And many have fallen into the traps because it has happened. Many have fallen into the traps because when we have prayed, things have not happened. And when we have prayed, they have not happened. They may have caused us to disconnect because the results have varied and the doubt has set in. Our God has always been like this. What seems impossible is possible with him. That the greatness of his manifold wisdom. He says, I want to tell you something today, my brothers and sisters, that's been on my heart even since this week. And we've been going through our Mondays with the moments with the pastor and Thursday night prayer with the pastor. God has been saying, I'm going to prove the doubters wrong. From the very outset of Jesus' ministry in the text, we're jumping right into the text, and I'm going to hit the highway running today. From the very outset of this text, Jesus' ministry, he was led into the wilderness, a wilderness place, and it turned out he was tested. And the first thing that the devil tried to say to him is, I need you, hallelujah. The devil appeared himself to him. He said, see, the enemy recognizes words that was standing over your life and words that went before you. And the enemy wanted to cast doubt on Jesus, what God has just said. Now, mind you, Jesus had just came out of the Jordan River. And at the Jordan River, the Bible says that there was a voice from heaven. Glory to God. I like that part. Jesus, there was a voice from heaven. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, before I go any further, heaven's going to touch your earth. And how is heaven going to touch your earth? There will be a voice from heaven. There will be a voice from heaven. I'm talking to you, my brothers and sisters, and I don't mean that it's heavy in here. It's heavy. The Spirit of the Lord is heavy upon me, heavy upon me. There will be a voice from heaven. From the very outset of Jesus' ministry, he was led to the wilderness for him to be tried and tested. And when he got there, the devil, the enemy said, I want to place doubt upon the word of God which has been in your heart. And the first thing he asked Jesus, are you? And when he said, are you? Jesus quickly reminded the devil, the adversary, that it is written of me before I go any deeper into this conversation between you and I want to tell you something, that it is written of you, that you are going to be, and it says it's so. As we go deeper, Jesus has turned water, and after he left the wilderness, he goes to the wedding of Canaan, and there he turned water into wine. The interesting part of reading that is that there was 6 water pots of stone. Jesus, there was 6 water pots of stone. And Jesus told the servants to fill them up. Now, if prophetically, this is six is the number of man. Six is the number of man. Six is when the Bible says, in the sixth day, he made man. And there were six water pots of stone. Jesus, I heard you. I hope you heard me. Hear me. In 6 days, the Bible says in the creation Genesis, it says in the sixth day, God created, he made man in his image and in his likeness. But here, Jesus at the wedding feast finds six pots. They're big old pots, stone pots. They were stone pots. Jesus, there's treasure in earthen vessels. We are the earthen vessels. We are the pots that he wants to pour water into. We are the pots that he wanted to put the wine into. The number six is the name of man, and it has the image of God. It says, this man, and then God turned water into wine. Wine is a drink that comes to intoxicate you. My brothers and my sisters, God wants to pour new wine, new water inside of you so that when you pour it out, glory to God, it will intoxicate somebody else, and they will say, where is this new wine? You say this for the very last? This is better than the wine that we had before. God wants to pour into you the very same way that you're going to be able to speak a word into somebody's life. They're going to say, this is the best drink I've had in a long time. But the word of God said that the angel asked God, Jesus, he asked God a serious question about man. He said, what is man that thou mindful of him? I can't answer for God, but Mr. Angel, even as the things that we face in this human, Mr. Angel, I can't answer for God, but can I give you my humble answer? And maybe, Mr. Angel, this answer that I can give you, hallelujah. I know God's answer was great to you, but I want to give you, Mr. Angel, an opportunity to hear it from me. Not that I'm anybody, but I just want to just tell you, why is God mindful of the human being? Because you were made to do what God told you to do. You go as he tell you to go. You move as he moves you to move. And there is no turning within you. But for the human being, I have to believe he is. Because you can see him every single day, Mr. Angel. But I can't see him like you see him, Mr. Angel. And I don't hear him like you hear him, Mr. Angel. And I don't hover around like you hover around him, Mr. Angel. But the thing that I think he is mindful of, but Mr. Angel, can I tell you something? I know you're with God. And I know you see him every day. You hear him every day. But from me, from my human experience, Mr. Angel, I found myself not doubting him. Even though I cannot see him, I cannot doubt him. Even though I'm not in the same atmosphere as you, I cannot doubt him. Because somehow or another, Mr. Angel, when he speaks to you, he speaks to me. When he calls you, he calls to me. Mr. Angel, I don't know what I can say to you to make you understand, but I choose not to doubt God. Even though I cannot see him, even though I cannot touch him like you can touch him. That's my answer, Mr. Angel. Jesus leaves the wilderness and go to the local church. And at the town, he walks in church. And as it was his custom, he walked right there in church with grace and peace upon him. He walked into the pulpit and they handed him a word that was written over his life. And he began to read, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me. That's a good place for you and I to give God a praise. For he has anointed me. Write that, and I'm telling you, that's not a doubt. Write that in your text today. Write that in your notes today. Write that on, please come in the chat and write, he has anointed me. And while Jesus reading the word, instead there was a prayer. It's why Jesus reading the word with all power and with all grace and with all dignity and with the power of the preacher and the power of the prophet, he began to quote the word of God. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I know that when he said that, the atmosphere had to change. I know when he said that the Hammond organ had to be getting ready to go, and the drummer had to be getting ready to go, and the musicians had to get ready to go. But instead there been a praise break and a worship moment. that somebody in the back of the crowd yelled, "I doubt that." Somebody in the back of the crowd yelled, aren't you the carpenter's son? And while somebody in the back of the crowd asked him, aren't you the carpenter's son? Then somebody else said, wait, we know you. Aren't you from that small town around the corner? My brothers and sisters, that when you are in transition, when you are moving for God, when you are walking this journey, you must be careful who you let speak something to you. You got to put up your holy banner, your block shot, and say, no, 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 not this time. No, 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 not me. And so they took Jesus. Notice this. They got, instead of being a praise break and a hallelujah and a shouting time and a worship, they grabbed Jesus and began to escort the Lord out of the city. How many of us have escorted the Lord out of the city prematurely? He came there to heal and deliver and set free, but they decided to escort because he did not look like they thought he should look. He did not sound like they thought he should sound. They recognized him. They were too common with him. And because he said, and knows he picked the word and he spoke a word to their lives. And they said, wait a minute, I know the word you just spoke, but I doubt that it's you. So while they were doubting him, they began to push him out of the city. And while they were pushing him out of the city, the Bible declares that somehow or another, he slipped right through. My brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, doubt, hallelujah, when you don't, you're going to slip right through the doubter's hands. You're going to slip right through. And so he slipped through. And I'm telling you, matter of fact, you ought to let me tell you something. Can I prophesy to you and tell you that you're getting ready to slip right through? Because anything that has oil on it is slippery. I'm going to slip through this dark season of my life, and the light is going to come on. I'm going to slip through the financial difficulties, and I'm going to slip into the flow of more than enough. I'm going to slip out of this negative thought, and I'm going to slip myself into the thoughts of which God has said concerning me. I'm going to slip myself of all this negative attention, and I'm going to jump on the intentionality of the Lord. I'm going to slip myself into his glory. Slip myself into my prayer life. Slip myself into this faith. Slip myself into this praise. Slip myself into a better way of life. I'm getting ready to slip myself on a better way of life. See, one thing about slipping, you lose your balance. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. When you slip and you lose your balance, and you ought to know, brothers and sisters, when you lose your balance in God, the Bible says he will pick you up. The Bible says that he will carry you. The Bible says with him, there is no failure. With him, when you slip into the hands of God, thank you, Jesus. What more can the enemy do? That's why they call him the good shepherd. You know why they call him the good shepherd? Because what a shepherd does, a shepherd takes a sheep and he puts oil on the sheep's nose. Because when you're anointed, you begin to search out things. When you're anointed, things come to you. And so that when a sheep will get his nose caught in a small hole because of the oil that's on his nose, he'll pull himself out. A good shepherd knows, let me anoint you before you go out. A good shepherd knows. That's why they call him the good shepherd. Why? Because he would anoint the sheep. He would anoint their head with oil and with grease to make sure that when they go out, they cannot get caught. A sheep sometimes always put his head in and always stick his nose in some things he has no business. Saints of God, sometimes we stick our nose in things we have no business. And because we slip our nose, sometimes we have our business. The Lord says, I got to put something on you to make sure that if you slipped in, you can slip right on out. Tell your neighbor, this next season of mine, you're going to find me slipping. I'm going to slip myself right onto the glory of God. Not slip myself the negative way, but slip myself right onto the positive things of God. And so they began to throw Jesus out of the city. And when they thought they had Jesus, he slipped right out of their grips. And tell your neighbor, Jesus made a point and to tell his followers that this ride, Jesus always told, when he slipped right out of the city. And after he slipped out of the city, the Bible says that Jesus asked the disciples a question. He said, disciples, who do men say that I am? And I'm going home right here. Who do men say that I am? Because Jesus, what Jesus would do, he was always preparing the disciples to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. That the Son of Man would be rejected by elders, by chief priests, and by scribes, and be killed and raised again. Jesus, from the very outset of his ministry, began to predict his death. He spoke to the disciples on as he was heading toward Jerusalem and the Passover. He said, while I'm going here, I want you to know something. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be scourged. I'm going to be crucified, but I'm going to rise again. And even with this occasion, the disciples did not understand. Wait a minute, Jesus, what do you mean? You're gonna lay your body down and get up in 3 days. We're having a good time just right now. We like hanging out. We like being with you. But Jesus asked them a mighty question. Since you like being, he says you like hanging out, what does men say about me? And so one answered in the crowd, one answered, some say you Jeremiah. Another said, some say you prophet Elijah reborn. Another one said, oh, you just like the prophets. But Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. And then Jesus turned around and said, Peter, upon what you just said, not Peter himself, he said, Peter, upon what you just said, I'm going to build my church. Not on Peter the rock, on what Peter had said about the rock. Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to build my church on what you said. I'm going to build my church on the word of God that just came out of your mouth. And as Peter walked along, I have a problem with this, because why didn't the other disciples who are walking with Jesus day by day, and they were there when the 5,000 got fed, they were there when he walked on water, they were there. Why didn't any of them speak up and say a word? But Peter said, you are the Son of God. Can I tell you something? Can I suggest to you, my brothers and sisters, that even though people recognize the anointing on your life, sometimes they still doubt. Sometimes they can see the power of God elevating your life, moving your life. Even you have spoken a word in their life and have said something in their life that is powerful and dynamic and changed the conditions of their life. But sometimes, even though they walk with you, they still doubt you. But the Gospel of John gives us a new prediction of Jesus' death, but it's slightly more subtle. For instance, when Mary anointed Jesus with her costly perfume, and Judas asked if she shouldn't do that for you, God. It should be given to the poor. She said, God told her, leave her alone, that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor we will have with you always, but I won't be here always. My brothers and sisters, I come to tell you that Jesus was telling the disciples that things in my life are getting about to change. But what happens when the people around you begin to say, wait a minute, why would this leave? Why you want to give all this up? Why you want to turn all this back? And why you keep saying in 3 days you're going to give it up and give it and you're going to raise again? Jesus said something that was so powerful at the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm going home. He says, so powerful at the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, wait a minute. He said, nevertheless, my will. Because Jesus was operating, good God Almighty, in a resurrection power. He was operating in a dynamic glory of God that people on this earth have never seen before. That's why his fame went around, and there was not no internet, there was not no social media, but somehow or another, the Bible said his fame began to spread all over the earth. Why? Because when there's real, authentic glory to God, when there's real, authentic glory of the anointing of the Holy Ghost in manifestation power, it will spread like wildfire. That's why his name is great. That's why when I say his name, you recognize his name. I could be in a grocery store, and I could be on the other side, and I can start saying Jesus. I'll guarantee you somebody else in the grocery store will recognize that name Jesus, and they'll begin to say Jesus. Why? Because his name is well known. And so, my brothers and sisters, Jesus, sometimes you got to destroy the doubter that's inside of you. Because here's Jesus telling him that I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. But some of them that would not receive it. Some of us have our own doubting systems that's built on us, built in the inside of us. And some of us will never reach our destination with our own doubt system built inside of us. You got to learn to take the limits off God, because what he's all power. I'll say it again for you, maybe in the back row. You have to learn to take the limits off of God, because our God is all power. How are you? What do you mean, preacher, by he's all power? The Bible says he's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's omniscient. He's everywhere at every time. There's nothing that, oh my God, you cannot surprise our God. You cannot tell God, wait a minute, did you not know? Because I read the Bible, God said, do you not know about me? Have you not heard about me? I am the Lord thy God. There is none higher than me. I hear, and my eye and ear are perpetually there. I am the Lord thy God. Why do you doubt me? And I love this story in the Bible where God asked the prophet Isaiah. He said, Isaiah, where are all these gods people talk about? Where are they? I searched the heavens above, and I went as far as the east is to the west. Now, wait a minute. God went as far as the east is to the west. He said, I checked out the time, and I said, where are these gods? God asked the prophet Isaiah, then Isaiah said, God, wait a minute. I don't know where they are. And God said, but Isaiah, people say, get the message, people say that they exist. Isaiah said, wait a minute, God, if you can't find them, surely I can't. But then God said, Isaiah, but if you do find them, tell them doubters that I'm looking for them. Can you imagine our God searching for the doubter? Could you imagine our God said, I'm going to prove the doubter wrong. So here he told Jesus, no, Jesus, we got to pack together. I have to prove to them through you that the doubters are wrong. That thing that was spoken over your life, that you should be bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of the peace shall be upon them, and by your stripes you are healed. I have to prove the doubter wrong. And by you going in the grave and coming up from the grave, our doubters will be proven wrong. Jesus asked the disciples, and when Jesus spoke a word into Peter's life, he told Peter, I'll build my church. And then Jesus died, and when they crucified Jesus, he came back to life. And when he came back there was nobody there to witness his resurrection. If Jesus told you in 3 days, at this certain time, I'm going to get up, nobody was there to witness his resurrection except the angel. And then Mary shows up, a worshiper shows up. Good God Almighty, I'm about to holler. A worshiper shows up on the scene. But when she showed up, she had brought her old traditional oils and her old traditional clothes on a new resurrection. What happens when we bring our old traditional clothes, our old stale oil, to a new worship? She was going there. She didn't believe he was going to get up again either. The worshiper who washed his feet with her tears, who bust the perfume bottle and spilled the whole room up, did not believe he was going to rise again. She was there to dress him and to put old clothes, worship clothes, old traditional ways of thinking, old traditional ways of doing it to a burial site. And when she got there, to her amazement, she said, wait a minute. She said, I think you may be the gardener. He said, Mr. Gardener, hold on for a minute. Have you seen him? Do you know where they've taken my Savior? And Jesus turned around and called her by name and said, Mary. And when she heard the name of the Lord, something inside of her began to go into a, she dropped, I can imagine the shock on her. And she dropped the old traditional ways. And she reached to touch him. He said, don't touch me just yet. Because I'm not ready. I haven't went to the Father. I'm still the high priest. And when you're a high priest, you cannot let nothing touch your clothes after the sacrifice. So he said, you cannot touch me. But what I want you to do, Mary, is I want you to go tell my disciples and Peter. Glory to God. I love God. He said, tell my disciples and Peter that I am risen again and that I'm coming to meet them. And that's one thing I like about the Lord, is that when he comes, when he rises again, when he comes to your occasion, he will send a word for you. And he told Mary, you tell my disciples, you tell my followers, you tell those who was with me, you tell those who didn't give up, you tell those who are scared, because the disciples were scared of what would happen to them if they showed up at the place of resurrection. But my brothers and my sisters, can I tell you something from the Holy Bible? If you decide to go with God, go with him all the way. If I was at church right now, I'll tell you, run down the road and wave at somebody and tell them, I'm going with him all the way. I heard an old folks say, I know too much about him. You can't make me doubt him. I'm going all the way and tell my brothers and my sisters, I feel the Holy Ghost now, that I'm not going to doubt God and what God, what Jesus did. He showed up at the Sea of Galilee. You remember the Sea of Galilee. It was the very first time that Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, can I use your boat? Can I use your life to platform myself on? It was the same sea that Jesus went back and said, hey, Peter, hey, disciples, it is I. When Peter saw it, Jesus said, did you catch anything? Good God Almighty. I love the way he did it, like he did the very first time. My brothers and sisters, can I tell you something? Let me inform you that the same way he came, he's going to come back to you the same way. He may look different, but the voice is the same. He may move different, but the voice is the same. He may look a little funny, but the voice is the same. And the Bible tells me that if you recognize his voice, my sheep know my voice. Tell your neighbor, reach down the road and say, neighbor, I'm not going to doubt him. If he got up from the grave on 3 days, if he told me he's going to move for me, I'm not going to doubt him. I've tried a long time all by myself. I'm not going to doubt him. Why am I not going to doubt him? Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. I'm not going to doubt him. Preacher, can you give me an example of why you won't doubt him? Yes, I can. As I scroll back in the periphery of my memories, and I can pick out just one example. God showed himself mighty. God showed himself strong. My wife was going through almost about with cancer, and I remember what the Lord told me. God told me, get a dance, get a praise, and tell your wife that the Lord will come through. At that time, she didn't want to hear it. At that time, she didn't want to receive it. But we kept on dancing. We kept on praying. We kept on talking the word of God. And she went to the doctor. And when she got to the doctor, the specialist said, we need to run some more tests. Why? Because I told my wife, before we got to the doctor, I'm not gonna believe what the doctor said. I believe in the word of the Lord. I heard him say, believe on me as the scripture has said. And I believe on God. And my wife, while she was in the hospital, she was hurt, she was upset. But she said, if God be for me, he's more than the world against me. And while she was there, good God Almighty, I'm about to run
I'm about to lose control. I'm about to sling my glasses because I'm telling you, when God says it, you gotta know he'll do it. When God says it, there is no doubt. And I believe that God was trying to prove the doubters wrong when they said it looks like cancer. God said, I'm gonna prove the doubters wrong with the glory. Hallelujah. I'm here to testify that we gave it to the Lord. And because we gave it, he took it, he blew on it, and it became life. Yes, sir. My brothers and my sisters, can I tell you that you gotta believe without a doubt, I'm living to live again. I'm living to live on this earth. I'm living so that I can show the glory of the Lord. Yes, I'm living so I can show the glory of the Lord. There's nobody like him. There's nobody that can do you like him. Tell your neighbor to neighbor, don't you know a man named Jesus? He was the great I am. He is my healer. He is my substance, and I won't doubt him. Do me a favor. Go grab your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God's gonna prove the doubt is wrong. He's gonna prove the doubt is wrong. Is there anybody who believes that God will prove the doubt is wrong? I know he's able. Yes, I do. I know he's able. Yes, I do. I feel like giving him glory. I feel like lifting him up. He will prove the doubt is wrong one day. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, in 3 days, my life getting ready to change. In 3 days, I'm getting up from here. In 3 days, I'm gonna rise. In 3 days, hallelujah, let God arise. His enemies be scattered. I'm gonna prove the doubters wrong. I'm gonna prove the doubters wrong. Even the doubter in your life, there may be a doubter in your life. God is gonna prove the doubter wrong. Tell your neighbor, hey neighbor, I decided I'm not gonna doubt. I decided I'm gonna trust him. I decided I'm gonna throw myself in. He's able. He's able. Yes, he is. Whoa. He's able. Yes, he is. Whoa. Yes, he is. One more time. He's able. Whoa. Yes, he is. I feel like glory. I feel like praising. I feel like giving honor. He will. Yes, he will. Prove the doubt is wrong. Hey, mama, I got something to tell you. God will prove the doubt is wrong. Hey, mama, I give it glory for what God has done in your life. But God is proving the doubters wrong. They said, one gonna make it. They said, one gonna give up. But I declare and I decree, God. Prove the doubt is wrong. He's proving the doubt is wrong. My brothers and sisters, I know they say that
We begin to holler and scream, and it's just a part of my Pentecostal expression. But he's going to prove the doubters wrong. There's been some doubters in your life. Even you have doubted, because it seems as though delay and denial has been at your doorstep. But can I tell you, I heard a word from the Lord. And that word is, I'm going to prove the doubters wrong. Come Monday morning, things change. Come Monday morning, things gonna change. I'm telling you. Woo! Hey! I wish we was at church. I'll have somebody get up and just scream and tell your neighbor, God's getting ready. God's sure enough ready to prove the doubters wrong. Hallelujah. My life. Supernatural. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a supernatural attachment of God that's being released to you now. Can I tell you, I feel it from heaven, a supernatural attachment from God. You know what an attachment is. When you push the button, the attachment opens and it says, this is coming with this as proof that God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's a supernatural. There's a supernatural attachment. There's a supernatural attachment that's being attached to you right now. And it's being downloaded to you, to your information base. And when the attachment comes, there's going to be a notice that there is an attachment. And I'm telling you, I'm already dancing and shouting for you and celebrating this, because you got to know something. There's coming a supernatural attachment.